You are listening to the Landon and Jeff Show, exclusively on DolphinsTalk.com. And now, here are your hosts, Landon and Jeff.
Hey, and welcome to episode 29 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon instead. Jeff, are you sure this is number 29?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of thought we were at number 30. But either way, excited to be back here with you, pal.
Yep, I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah, even though I will tell you, I'm pretty positive this one is 30, because last week's was number 29.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's my bad.
All right, well, why don't you just start over? And we'll just keep this whole thing, and we'll let people know that we're really not very good at this, but we try hard anyway.
Okay. Welcome to episode 30 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
You already introduced yourself. You don't have to introduce yourself again.
Oh, well, you said to redo the whole thing.
All right. Well, whatever, Landon. We're having fun anyway. It's finally a show that I promise will be better than episode 29, which we both said at the end was not our favorite episode, because there's actually some stuff to talk about.
There is.
All right. So what do you have on your list?
I'd like to talk about how more and more likely it is for us to get Kyler Murray.
Well, more and more likely or less and less likely, because based on the measurements that came out today, he's bigger than Russell Wilson. His hands are bigger than Baker Mayfield. His hand is the same size as your buddy Matt Ryan's. He measured like an NFL quarterback today, which probably makes him less likely to fall to the Dolphins.
Oh, well, I was saying in the case of the coaches and the general manager like him more based off his weight and size and stuff that he measured in.
Yeah, well, I was very impressed with it. As I've said for the last couple of weeks, I don't care about all this draft stuff until it's actually time to draft. But he made himself a lot of money today, and good for him.
Mm-hmm. And he's becoming more of a legitimate option for an NFL team, which is good for him.
Yeah, and I think that if you're the Dolphins and you decide that you like this guy, then you got to go get him. And you're going to have to figure out a way to trade up to get him, because he's not going to be sitting there for you at 13, most likely. Haskins probably won't be sitting there for you at 13. So if those are the two guys you like, you got to figure out a way to get him.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of trading up. And I'm pretty sure there's some teams that are willing to trade up with us.
Yeah, I think there are two. You know, the Jets came out today and kind of said that they would like to drop down from number three and get more assets, which was probably a smart move, because a lot of people, I think that Oakland could potentially move out of four. But if the Jets make it known that position pick three is available, they'll be able to generate some interest up there. I think it'll be pretty interesting as we get forward. What is kind of known right now is that the Dolphins at least are starting to you know, scout players and work as an organization. They met with the right tackle from the University of Florida today, which would be interesting if they don't sign Juwan James. If they do sign Juwan James, I think it would be very hard for them to draft a tackle in the first quarter or in the first round. What do you think about the latest with Juwan James?
Yeah, it's not looking so good for him, although I would like us to re-sign him, but it doesn't look like we're going to.
Yeah, Armando Segura wrote today in the Miami Herald or yesterday that if we wanted to sign him, that we would have done it by now. And I think that's a very good point. But, you know, sometimes these things take longer than you think. I mean, this whole Bryce Harper to the Phillies thing, switching sports for a second, they've talked about that for a long time. And all of a sudden it happened today, whereas it seems like that same offer had been out there for a long time, or you were led to believe that. So I don't know whether he just didn't want to go there or was waiting to hopefully someone would trump the offer, but they didn't. But someone is going to pay Juwan James a lot of money. And I guess it's up to the Miami Dolphins. They should know their budget for him, and they should make him their best offer. And if he wants to stay, great. But what is interesting is that Greer did mention both Juwan James and Xavien Howard as guys he wanted on the team. He didn't mention Cam Wake or Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm, but he also said that he didn't want us to do tanking. So that might be part of the reason why he wanted to keep.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's such a that's such a weird thing to say. And for him to say that the owner was kind of misunderstood or whatever, or changes his mind or is volatile or whatever he said, who knows? I mean, the bottom line is, if they start shedding all these salary, we're going to know real soon whether you want to call it tanking or not. If you get rid of good players who make decent amount of money because they don't think they fit the window that you have to win in 2 to 3 years, then we're going to know that for the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to suffer. And I'm okay with it as long as we stay the course.
Yeah, we can't. We either have to make a commitment to trying to go all out to try and make some sort of playoff push, or do what I think is more sensible and kind of take us a couple steps backward to take many steps forward.
Yeah, well, I think that's ultimately whether they want to go backwards or not, they're going to. So I don't think you have much of a choice in that regard. And I think it also showed, the proof will come in what they do over the next couple of weeks. So the good news is we won't have to talk about it. We'll actually be able to see what they're doing and then kind of analyze that and see what happens going forward. But either way, I'm still, at this point, expecting a very, very rough season for the team for at least next year, if not the next two.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
But if we did get Kyle Murray or Haskins, I think that would be interesting. Locke is someone I know nothing about. I know Mike on this podcast has talked favorably about him, that he's a big fan of him, and that points out that he's played against the big boys in the SEC with not the best team, to compete against them, and has done reasonably well. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I definitely think that there is we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of weeks about this team.
Mm-hmm. And from what I read, Brian Flores is trying to do the same.
Yeah, so what did you read about Brian Flores, Landon?
He stated that his first month as the Miami Dolphins head coach was kind of a blur, and that he's hoping to try and keep it, like, better, if that makes sense. And he's trying to, like, learn all the coaches, and he's happy with all the experience and everyone he has on staff.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is absolutely true. I think what's going to be really, really, really interesting to really see what is going to, kind of transpire, in these next couple weeks. Because once the league year flips and free agency starts, we're going to know real quick what happens. Because, one of the teams ahead of us that wants a quarterback could sign Nick Foles. The Eagles said they're not going to franchise him. So he'll be out there, and that would take one of those teams, in theory, away from drafting a first rounder. The board will start getting a little clearer. I think that the Murray news today is big for the Dolphins because a lot of the question marks about his size were erased, and that probably means he's more desirable to more teams than the Dolphins would probably hope for.
Mm-hmm. But as we said, if the Dolphins really want him, they should go get him, whether they are. They are going to or not, I'm not sure. But if they do like him, they should.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's what's...
However, you can get this.
No, I was just going to say that the interesting thing is if you don't have the right, if you're thinking about drafting a rookie quarterback, then I almost think you have to keep Juwan James because you can't put a rookie quarterback out in front of a line that in reality would only have Laremy Tunsil because Sitton will be released. Kilgore, who knows if he'll come back. Jesse Davis was awful. You really would only have one lineman at that point. And it's been proven time and time again when you have these rookie quarterbacks, if they have no line, they have no shot. So I think that all this stuff will start to kind of make sense as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. But I feel like it's going to be kind of tough because, as you said, the Jets are willing to trade their pick for some assets in exchange for, like, a team that wants a quarterback. Now, the thing about that is I doubt the Jets would trade us a good draft pick to draft the quarterback because that's only helping us. So
yeah.
I feel like reasonably they're not going to give it to us. And if they do, it's going to be well overpriced. And if they are giving that pick to someone who wants a quarterback, it kind of puts us in a tough position.
Yeah, no, I think the Raiders is an interesting slot. I think if Jacksonville signs a quarterback, that's an interesting slot. There's plenty, to kind of ponder over these next couple of weeks. But it'll be really interesting to see kind of what happens with, like I said, right when this starts, it's who they cut and who they keep. That's gonna tell all this talk, all this rhetoric about we're tanking, we're not tanking, we want a quarterback this year, we want to build the lines this year and get a quarterback next year. We're going to know those answers soon enough. And thankfully, that'll be good because we can finally stop talking about it. But I think it'll definitely help us to kind of understand where we are and kind of what the future of this team is.
Mm-hmm. I would completely agree.
All right, Landon, what else do you have on your list of things to talk about?
I think we covered it because you kind of transitioned to my other thing. What do you have on your list?
Well, one of the things I'm interested in is are you going to watch the Combine? Do you enjoy the Combine? I know you watch some stuff on NFL Network. Do you find this, is this one of the things you enjoy, or is this something you don't even pay attention to?
It kind of depends on what's going on. Last year I wasn't doing anything on the day of the Combine, so I was able to watch it. And I didn't watch the full thing. I just watched some of the athletes that looked like they were going to be drafted, either by the Dolphins or really high up, such as like Baker Mayfield, and we all saw and were shocked that he got drafted really high up. I saw Nick Chubb, and it's just kind of interesting seeing some of the better players do it. However, it's not something that I'm interested in watching for literally everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on for like a week, so I might grab a YouTube clip and watch here or there somebody who had a good workout, but I think what's interesting for us is that at least the Dolphins, this is probably the first time that a majority of this group is together all at once. Like, you would assume Reggie McKenzie's there, Chris Greer and the other guys that they've assembled on this personnel team. This is probably a great time for them just to get together and go over things and just kind of figure things out and, you know, learn each other. Great for the position coaches, you know, because again, we have a guy coordinating the defense who's never been a coordinator. We have a guy coordinating the offense who's never been a coordinator. This is a great time for them to kind of just talk and get philosophies and look at players. And, you know, ultimately, I hope that they find someone who maybe isn't as highly rated by, you know, the scouting services or the talking heads that are there to kind of, you know, look at these performances. But maybe they interview this guy and find out, wow, this is the right type of person that we need to have on the team. And that's where the Combine can be valuable. But of course, you wouldn't know that from watching that part on TV. But I don't pay too much attention to it. Other than that, I'm glad that this is an opportunity for our staff to get together and do some work.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I saw that interests me was how Brian Flores let our defensive coordinator have control of the defensive plays. That kind of interested me, considering that was Brian Flores' job in New England.
Yeah, I think that's something that we need to look at. I think the things, you know, for me is, you know, if you're going to let Patrick Graham do this, we need to give him the versatility that he wants. So that has to affect, you know, the roster. Because the one thing that Matt Burke was definitely exposed for is he couldn't adjust his scheme that he still probably thinks is genius to the players that we have on the roster. And from what I understand about what Patrick Graham wants to do is he wants the versatility to go 4-3 or 3-4 to be able to play four defensive backs or five defensive backs. Well, that's awesome in theory, but you got to have the right players. And this is the first opportunity for them to add these guys.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I feel like you kind of want to relieve that duty once you're done with the roster, right? Because then you know who's on the roster, and you know that he has the players he wants, and he can actually make the right calls.
Well, yeah, but he may not have the players this year, Landon, that he wants. He may have kind of a mix of some of the guys he wants. Like, he may really love Joe Baker, but for whatever reason, Kiko and McMillan don't fit into this scheme, but he can't just play his scheme with guys who don't fit into it. So if you look at some of the metrics that came out from last year, Kiko and especially McMillan were horrendous against the pass. I mean, Kiko did have three interceptions, but he gave up a lot of receptions, and McMillan was one of the worst in the league. He was one of the best run stoppers in the league, one of the worst at covering receivers. So you have to figure out, how do I take that guy and maybe get him off the field in run downs? I mean, that was ultimately what I believe they wanted to do, and they've got to figure out a way to get that done. But that means you got to bring in a player who can do it. I would love to see this draft turn into nothing but linemen and linebackers and kind of peripheral guys and maybe not skilled position players. And then you get the skilled position players going a little bit later, when you find that quarterback. I mean, I know that we both like Tua. That's at least a year away. But to draft a quarterback without a line right now, without everything else around him is going to be problematic. But again, if they love Kyler Murray, then go up and get him. I mean, Brian Flores apparently today said something that he had a phenomenal year this year. You know, he's a great athlete. I think he's a very good player. You know, that they said that Chris Greer said they're trying to build it right and we'll see how it plays out. We're not trying to tank or lose every game. So all, they're saying all the right things, but the actions are about to finally start happening, which is what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we do get Kyler Murray and we're not confident in our offensive line or if he's going to stay healthy, then I feel like that's where you kind of sit him out a year and let him learn and let him try and learn the scheme because no one else knows it. So I feel like if we don't try and rush him and we give him some time, I feel like that's when he could be best if we do end up drafting him.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be really, really difficult to draft that guy and then not play him. I mean, we saw with Baker last year when he came in, you know, what it did to the Browns and how it revitalized them. And it got ultimately Hugh Jackson fired, was not being able to figure him out early. But there's just so many things that have to happen before that decision gets made. You know, but at least he has the size to be an NFL quarterback. So leave that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, Landon, that I had was there's a cool interview I read with Chad O'Shea basically saying that the new offense will emphasize some of the playmakers that we had. And the one takeaway I had from that article, and I believe it was on ESPN.com, was that he really, really talked with Albert Wilson. And you could tell from reading the words that that's a guy. You know, you can learn Landon by what these guys say, who they mention, who they don't mention. And the fact that he mentioned Wilson so prominently, to me at least, leads to believe that he thinks he has a true playmaker there and somebody who can be a difference maker for the Dolphins. And that's exciting to hear because we certainly need more and more of those and we want to see those guys, you know, becoming more and more prevalent. But that was kind of interesting to read.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read the same article, right? The one that was like interviewing Chad O'Shea, right? I think
yes.
I read that same one because it was talking about Albert Wilson in a very positive tone quite a few times.
Yeah, and again, we can learn a lot by these guys, by who they talk about and who they don't talk about. So I think that ultimately that'll be something that we can we can see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Landon. Well, that was all I had on my list for today, even though it's a pretty crazy day in the world of sports with Jason Witten. I don't know if you saw this. He announced he's going back to the Cowboys and, more importantly for me, leaving the Monday Night Football booth. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I did see that, and I was actually kind of happy because I remember watching a video and it was like all the mistakes he made during like a quarter or something like that. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm always going to be a supporter of ESPN and Monday Night Football and great people who work behind the scenes on that show who work their tail off. They kind of got a raw deal with Witten in the sense of that someone was clearly hoping they had Tony Romo and that was not Tony Romo. So let's hope that he plays well and let's hope that ESPN finds the right announcer to potentially go in there.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you do, even though it's better for us out here on the West Coast because we start watching it at 5:30 as opposed to 8:30 for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, who do you want them to put in the booth?
I don't know enough about sportscasters and stuff. And the thing is, most of the good ones, except for like Tony Romo, which the CBS got lucky on, I feel like if you're a good sportscaster, you already are doing it, right? So I feel like it's tough to find someone that's like a good but like hasn't already proven themselves. And if they have proved themselves, they have a job. Like, do you get what I'm trying to say?
I do. You know, I think that I don't know. On my other podcast I do with Callaway, the Ship Show, if you go search for Callaway Podcast Network, you can hear the Ship Show a couple days a week. We talked about who should be in there. And I kind of said that I think they should just drive as much money as they can to Peyton Manning's house and just don't leave till they sign him.
That's a pretty good idea.
And so let's see how that goes. So I said Peyton Manning, then I said wait a year or two and then add Eli to it and have the two Mannings on there, and maybe you get Archie and Cooper to be the pregame hosts or the sideline reporters, who knows. And then if that doesn't work out, just keep driving south to Hattiesburg and stop at Brett Favre's house and see if you can get him.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good plan for ESPN. They should start listening to our show.
Well, there's a couple people up there who do, but I don't think those are the people who make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Landon. Well, I think we did way better than the old episode 29. I'm glad we finally figured out this was episode 30. Maybe you wanted to call this 29 to erase last week's show.
Yeah, I just forgot that show even happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, well, why don't you wrap this one up for us?
Okay. That's been episode 30 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.